1 John chapter 5. Eternal life. Eternal life. 1 John 5:11. I'd like to assign some verses for reading. If you volunteers to read, who would read for me when I ask John 10:27, 28, 29? Okay, that's the first thing there. Second thing, Deuteronomy 33:27. Don. Romans 1:20. Kelly. 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Tracy. Ephesians 3:10-11. Ken Beebe and Sue Beebe and Arlena. Right? Ephesians 3:10-11. Did I do that right? Okay, 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. Sharon Ravert. Jude, verse 7. Thank you. I'm sorry. I haven't looked over here once. I'm sorry. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Jerry. Okay. Start at the beginning of our lesson. Let's read 1 John 5:11-12 and 13. 1 John 5:11-12 and 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 11, and this is the record. What's the record? You see the previous verses there. Let's go up to verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, or can I say the witness, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And then our memory verse, and this is the record, or this is the witness, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Probably everybody in this room, your faces are all very familiar, is a Christian. You right now have eternal life. If there is anyone in this room that is not a Christian, I would exhort you at the end of this class to get a hold of me, get a hold of myself, or take God's word, sit down with you, get a hold of Kelly, get a hold of most any of these men you see here, or any of these women, if you're a lady, and we'll sit down and take God's word and make it very plain to you about eternal life and what you need to do to receive it if you're not saved. Christians, what eternal life do we have? What is this? What is it to us here on earth? And then, of course, in eternity, what is it then? Here on earth, it's our works. Here on earth, it's what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. First John, let's go in our lesson. In 1 John 5:11-13, we notice the phrase eternal life. We do not enter eternal life when we die. We enter eternal life the moment we trust Christ as Savior. The Bible says that we are seated in the heavenlies. We are already seated in the heavenlies. We're already there. It's all done. Guy at work says, oh, you're one of them born-agains. You're one of them. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Here we talk about eternal life. Oh, you're one of the people that, you're one of them once saved, always saved guys. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Why would I not be that? As many times as we read the words eternal and everlasting, why wouldn't we think that to be the case? Why wouldn't we believe that to be true? We have eternal life right now. We already have it When we become Christians, we have eternal life. Notice some of the things that are eternal according to the Word of God. We have eternal life, John 10, 27 through 29. Amen. We have eternal life. We have an eternal God. Deuteronomy 33:27. We have an eternal God. We have an eternal God. We're held up by His arms. Held up by His arms. Can you see the picture? We're held up by His mighty arms. When I was a little guy, I was jumping from one tree to another, and my brother was supposed to catch me. He didn't have the arms that it took, and I fell, hit the ground, and seemed like it took 5 minutes before the air would enter my body again, but we started breathing again. We were okay, but he thought his arms could do it. He said, "Oh, jump, 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 I can catch you." Wham! But he didn't, but God's mighty arms were held by His mighty arm, the God of all creation. Are we going to fall? Apparently not. Certainly not. He's a mighty God. Romans 1:20, His eternal power. Amen. Amen. The eternal power of God. Eternal power of God. End of that verse, so that they are without excuse. So that they were without excuse. Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2, a lot of excellent verses about someone says, well, what about the people who've never heard? God wrote it right in their hearts. He wrote it right there. It's in the book of Romans in chapter 1 and chapter 2. God has written it there. His eternal power. Okay, eternal house. We have an eternal house. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Ben, we have an eternal house. And then we have an eternal purpose. Ephesians 3, 10, and 11. There's an eternal purpose. Amen. We have an eternal purpose. Purpose in Christ Jesus. Then we have eternal glory. We're headed for an eternal glory. 1 Peter 5:10. Have eternal glory. And then Jude 7, there is eternal fire. Amen. Obviously, we have eternal life. We don't have to worry about eternal fire. But certainly those around us that are without Christ do have to worry about eternal fire. These are some of the eternal things that exist, some of the eternal things that we have reading on in your lesson. For those who have placed their faith and trust in Christ, eternal life is a present possession. John 3:36. Turn with me to John 3:36. If you would, please. That ledge makes it hard to turn pages. John 3:36. Being in front of you makes it hard to turn pages. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And then John 5:24. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You and I have eternal life. You and I have eternal life. At the point we are saved, we have eternal life. We have it right now. The scripture says that we are already seated in heaven. Once we're saved, it's a done deal. Some say this is a dangerous teaching. They say it leads believers to think they can live in sin. However, God's word shows us that this is not a dangerous doctrine, but a blessed truth. Some say, well, you eternal lifers, you can go do what you want now. Since it's all settled, you can all go do what you want. Yeah, we can, but our wanters are different. Our wanters are different. We can't go back into the old world and be in that nonsense anymore. But our wanters are different. Again, those folks that say, oh, you once saved, you always saved, guys. You do that because you're a bunch of escapists. You want to escape hell. No, Jesus Christ already took care of my hell. I don't have to escape from anything. He already took care of it for me. So how I live has nothing to do with my eternal destiny. What you and I did when we became saved brought us eternal life, not what we do afterwards. Although what we do afterwards is very important. We're new creatures, at page 22 in your lesson. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, who has that one? We are new creatures. Old things are passed away. The old wants and desires, do they still come around and bother us? Yeah, they do. Can we have victory over them? Yeah, we can. Might they still come back? They might. But we don't continue in that nonsense, do we? We don't continue in that nonsense. Why? Because we're new creatures. Because the God of all creation, the all-powerful God, has given us the ability and the access through him. Through him to victory. We now have a desire to please the Lord and to live right because God has changed our lives and has made us new creatures. Who changed our desires? God did when he came to abide in us. We find that Christ can enable us by the eternal power to live a life that glorifies him. It is not dangerous to teach that we have eternal life because we are new creatures in Christ. We're new creatures. So it's not a dangerous doctrine to teach that we indeed have eternal life because they say that we would continue in our sin, but we don't because we're new creatures, because we have access to the power of a mighty God that will give us victory over them. We have a new motive. As believers, our new motive is the love of Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ. This is a good verse to learn, by the way. Second Corinthians 5, read verse 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 5, nope. I know there's a page between there. Five, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Christ died for you and I. We're very thankful for that. We're very thankful. Could we pay money to thank him? Certainly not. That's not what it's about. So what do? We offer our lives. We offer our lives. We offer the works that we're going to see here later. We offer that. And we praise him with that. And we glorify him with that. But the love of Christ constraineth us. Our children do right, maybe because they don't want to get the discipline from us. We do right. Why? Because of the love of Christ. And our children obviously would need to do that too. It's the love of Christ. When you think of what he did for you, man, Wednesday night when Pastor went through that, you know, the man taking the whip and what it would have done and what Christ would have looked like, I went, man, how can we even stand before Christ when we realize what he took for us? We love him, don't we? We love him. The love of Christ constraineth us to do right. It constraineth us to live for him. It constraineth us not to walk in the sin of our old days. The love of Christ. And may I say more strongly than our love for Christ and what he did for us, more strongly is Christ's love for us. Our love towards him will fail, won't it? We'll come up short. We'll do wrong. Will he ever come up short? Certainly not. Is that a blessing? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. He'll never come up short. The love of Christ, Christ's love for us, will constrain us to do right. If we walk in his word, if we walk in prayer, if we're beginning our days in prayer and communion with the Lord and asking him to give us strength for that day, what we should do that day to honor him. We have a new motive. Our love for Christ, and more greatly, is Christ's love for us. We have a new Father. Another reason that the doctrine of eternal life is not as dangerous is that we have a new Father. Hebrews chapter 12. I knew I wasn't going to get through this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Turn with me if you would, please. I'm sorry. Hebrews 12, 1. Follow along as I read. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We have a new Father. We can't continue in sin because our Father will chasten us. You see someone that's continuing in sin and continuing in sin and continuing in sin, we you probably know people that were saved at one point, or so you thought, and for 20 years now they've done nothing. They've not been in church, they've not read their Bibles, they've not prayed. I'd almost think that that seed never came to fruition. Never came to fruition. Because we have a new Father, and if we're living in the world without chastening, we need to be considering what's going on, because our Father will chasten us for our sin. Following along in your lesson, and notice the word chastening used many times. We're children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father would not allow us to live as we please. He would chasten us because we are part of His family. We have a new judgment. For those who died without Christ will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. In Revelation 20, 11 and 12, the books are going to be open, and the dead are going to be judged. The lost are going to be judged. They're going to be judged, and then they're going to be sent to hell. Why? Because they rejected Jesus Christ. Following along in your lesson. But those of us who are saved are going to the judgment seat of Christ. We will not be judged there for our sin. For our sin was judged on the cross. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have no condemnation. We have eternal life. Once you and I were saved, we have no condemnation for the rest of our lives. Our condemnation is done. Now let's read on. What about our works? But we will be judged for our works. We know we have eternal life, but we want to live for Christ because we know we shall give an account of our works. In 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15, we learn that our works are going to be tried. When you and I are standing there, and they take all our works, and Christ takes all our works and all our efforts, and all that we're bringing, and it goes into the fire, what's going to make it out? The wood, hay, and the stubble isn't going to make it out of the fire, is it? Those works that we did in the flesh, we did of ourselves, maybe a good deed in the church, but done for the wrong reason. When they go into the fire, the wood, hay, and the stubble is not coming out. What's coming out? The gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Those things are going to make it through the fire. We know our works will be tried of what sort they are. This speaks of our motives. Let us do what we do for Christ, not to be seen of men. We have a new freedom. In Titus 2, 13 and 14, we read that Christ has redeemed us. We have a new freedom because our sin debt was paid in full when Christ died on the cross. How can we sin against such love? How can we sin against such love and freedom? Our lives are not our own. We belong to Jesus Christ. With grateful hearts, let us rejoice that we have eternal life and serve Him. You and I have eternal life. It's all done. It's all settled. We have it for eternity. It's a done deal. Do we need to live differently? Yes. Why? Because we have a Heavenly Father that'll chasten us. He certainly will. Do we like the chastening of the Lord? No. But afterward, the Bible says that it yieldeth the peaceable fruit unto righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. That's why we endure that. That's why we go through that, because the Lord takes that to make us better children of His. You and I have eternal life. There's folks out there that don't. Let's take it to them. Let's take it to them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the eternal life that we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful for your word and how your word gives us these truths that we can understand and we can grasp. And they're written down in front of us, so if we forget them, we can go back over them again. Lord, we're thankful for the witness. We're thankful for the record that we have and the eternal life that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.